捷径空中美语
Landmark English。
Hi, everyone, and welcome again to Landmark English. I'm Bill, here with Stephanie, and I'm still working on my plans for a trip to Bolivia. We began our travel unit yesterday with some plans for Bolivia and a little bit of reading on one of our writers' trip to Bolivia.
We did. You know, it was like we were reading someone's journal. He got back from his trip, and I guess he published an article about his fascinating journey to Bolivia. We started to learn a bit more about this fascinating place. Do you remember the name of the capital, Bill?
I do. It's La Paz.
Yeah.
And yesterday we learned about how the two distinct cultures of the Aymara Indians and, of course, the Spanish conquerors really both have a lot to do with influencing where Bolivia came from. Now, in today's story, our writer is going to visit these incredible ruins from the old Indian culture there in Bolivia. It's the ruins of Tiwanaku. So let's jump into our article today, learn about this wonderful place, and learn a little more about Bolivia.
Rising early from my small hostel room, I delighted in the open air of the streets and markets. I enjoyed my morning walk to the station, since I knew the ride to Tiwanaku would mean several hours in the back of a tiny minibus. Catching my first glimpse of the famous site, I was struck by the sheer scale of the place. The crumbling remains of a magnificent civilization stretched out for miles. Its artificial grandeur contrasted with the natural glory of the distant Andes Mountains. Walking among the ruins, I saw a lone llama staring at me from atop a pile of rubble. Stone statues still stood, staring coldly. Running my hand across the elegant stone, I could feel thousands of years of history flowing into my fingers.
Now, our writer spent the evening in La Paz getting ready to go out to go to Tiwanaku on this second day. Now, of course, you stay in a hotel room, you can stay in a hostel, someplace like this when you're traveling, and a hostel is like a hotel, except usually it's a little bit cheaper. It's usually run as a private business, maybe a bunch of rooms in someone's house. And what happens in a hostel is you usually have a little more of the backpacker community, a little more of the group of people that are traveling to learn about a place and see some sights off the normal track. They don't all pile into a tour bus, usually. And this writer got up really early, rose really early, and then left his hostel room. And it says he delighted in the open air of the streets and markets.
When you delight in something, it makes you happy. You laugh. It really tickles you. You're enjoying yourself. And our writer here really loved the open air of the streets and the markets. Everything was a really different experience for him, and he wanted to really get to know what the people and the culture were like there. Well, he enjoyed his morning walk to the station, because he knew the ride to Tiwanaku would be in this really small mini bus. Now, tiny just means very, very small. And usually when someone talks about having to travel in the back of a tiny mini bus for hours, they're not really excited about it. It's not very comfortable. And so he enjoyed being out in the open air because pretty soon he'd be stuck in the back of the minibus.
Right, and a minibus is kind of like a tour bus, but they're usually quite a bit smaller. Seat maybe about 12 people, pretty popular in a lot of South American countries. Anyway, the rider is in the back of the bus, and as they're driving towards it, he catches his first glimpse of the famous site. And he's struck by the sheer scale of the place. When you catch a glimpse of something, well, yesterday we talked about this word glimpse. We mentioned it and said that it means you get a short, quick look of something, and you just kind of get an idea of what it's about, like the first-hand glimpse into the culture that he was excited about getting when he goes to the ruins. Here, the glimpse is more of an understanding, more of an idea, more learning about something. But this is an actual look. He actually caught a look, or just was able to see the famous sight.
He describes himself as being struck by the sheer scale of the place. Now, the verb to strike means, well, one of the meanings can be someone hitting you. So just imagine if someone hit you on the head, you'd probably look at them and go, what? What do you want? Well, when he saw this sight, he was so amazed, it felt like someone was hitting him. It got his attention. He really tried to notice it. Well, the thing that he noticed was the sheer scale of the place. When we use this word sheer to describe the scale, we're saying we're trying to emphasize something's quality. And here, we're emphasizing how large the place is. It's huge. The scale is terrifically big. So he is struck by how big the place is. He also notices that the remains that he's there to visit are crumbling, meaning they're breaking into small pieces. And that's what he sees for miles and miles.
Right, if it's crumbling into small pieces, then what you have after it has crumbled is the remains. So that's why he says the crumbling remains of this magnificent civilization stretch out for those miles. Again, it's the remains of the civilization because it's the buildings that remained or stayed behind when the people disappeared. So, we're talking about how this ruined all of these sites here. It really spreads out over this really large area. It's why he says it's a magnificent civilization that must have made this place. Magnificent is a great word. It literally is talking about being worthy of being used by kings. It has this connection to kingliness, which has this, you know, betterness attached to it. So magnificent means it's a beautiful, good, not just good, but better than normal, better than average thing to see. And here it was a huge civilization. Now, if the remains stretch out for miles, like you said, Stephanie, you can see them over this really large area. To stretch means to pull something out so it spreads out over a large area, here for miles.
It says its artificial grandeur contrasts with the natural glory of the distant Andes Mountains. When you talk about something being artificial, you're talking about it not being real or natural. It's man-made. And of course, people build buildings, of course. They're not natural. They're not part of nature. And grandeur just means something is really grand and impressive. So that it's made by people and it's amazing and impressive. And this site that he's seeing, these remains or ruins, contrasts with the natural glory of the mountains surrounding this area. When something contrasts with something else, it means you notice the differences. They're very different from each other. Well, the Andes Mountains he describes as being glorious. They have a natural glory to them.
Now, if something is glorious, if something has that natural glory, you're talking about this sense of wonder that's attached to it, almost like it has a little bit of godliness in it as well, a little bit of magic. And here, when you're talking about the distant Andes Mountains, which are these incredibly beautiful mountains in South America, it's why he uses this word. In fact, the word is used in many different ways. You might often hear it when you're talking about, like, the glory of a nation, or maybe the glory one gets when they fight in a war. Here, the word is almost the same, but slightly different. It's this feeling of magnificence, this idea of something grand, something magical that's attached to someone or something for one special reason, like the nation is very strong, or the person who fought in the war fought very well and with honor. Here, we're just talking about the beauty of the mountains far away. Okay, so as the writer walks among the ruins, walks through the ruins, is surrounded by them, he sees a lone llama staring at him from atop a pile of rubble. That's really funny. A lone llama. If it's lone, it means it's standing there, of course, by itself. Lone without the A still means alone, by itself. And here, we're talking a llama.
Ooh, a llama is just an animal. Kind of looks like a horse. He's down in South America. He's got really long hair, kind of like wool. So there's this llama staring at him, and he's atop or on top of, that's what atop means, a pile or stack of rubble, stones and broken pieces of buildings. And next to that are just stone statues. Now, they're standing still, okay? Or they're just still there. They haven't been damaged or destroyed completely. So they're standing and they're staring coldly. Statues are usually images of men or women. And so they have eyes, and so he feels like they're staring at him coldly. When someone stares at you coldly, it doesn't give you a warm, friendly feeling. You feel like they're a little angry at you.
Right. If someone is cold, like a cold person, it means they have no feeling at all. They have no compassion. In fact, it might even mean that they mean to do you harm. They want to hurt you. So here, if these statues are staring coldly, well, it just means they have no feeling, no emotion. They're not good, they're not bad, they're just looking like cold stone at the writer. But as he runs his hand across the elegant stone, it's elegant because it's beautifully carved, he can feel thousands of years of history flowing into his fingers. Wow, I love that feeling when you travel and go look at old ruins of an old civilization. And you touch the stone, actually put your finger on the stone, and think of the people that touched that stone hundreds of years before, thousands of years before. It's like he feels history flowing into his fingers. It's not really flowing or smoothly moving into his body. It's just the idea, the feeling that he imagines as he's standing there. All right, listeners, before we continue in our trip in the ruins of Tiwanaku there in Bolivia, let's take a moment to listen to some Chinese explanation.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 继续我们昨天的旅行，到了今天第二天，我们要看什么特别的地方呢？首先，我们来看到在第一段的第一个句子写着Rising early from my small hostel room, I delighted in the open air of the streets and markets. 我们要来看的就是 hostel 这个字，就解释成为旅社，常常呢指的就是青年旅社。而后面的动词 delight in, delight 当作动词解释成为喜欢、爱好。Children delight in surprises.小孩子都喜欢令人惊奇的事物。A delight 呢，它的形容词 delightful 加上 ful 就是有令人喜悦的、愉快的。那如果我们讲到 delighted 就是感到欣喜的。 She was delighted at receiving so many cards and presents on her birthday.在他生日那一天，他很高兴收到很多的卡片跟礼物。我们就可以用人来当主词，用被动的 be delighted at。而后面的句子里面所提到的 the open air 指的就是露天的意思。那么 open air 也可以用来当作是形容词，则是有户外的、开放的的意思。
Okay, let's take a short break. We'll be right back.Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Landmark English. I'm Bill. Here with Stephanie, we are looking at day two of this month's travel unit called Sketches of Bolivia. Now, Stephanie, we've been discussing our writer's trip in the ruins of Tiwanaku, ancient ruins in Bolivia from an old, old culture there. Let's continue then in our third and fourth paragraphs.
Elsewhere, the central temple was reconstructed with its stone monolith standing imposingly. On its surface, the carved image of a fearsome god glared at me, as if angry at my presence. Outside, the sky was dull and gray, but I felt awed by what I had seen. A few rows of simple wooden stalls were grouped near the exit. The owner of one, a small Aymara woman, called me over to examine her wares. A gray sweater caught my attention. I wondered if this could have been made from the fur of the same llama as I had seen exploring the ruins earlier.
Now, we were looking just at the stone lions at some of the ruins there, and elsewhere, so this is in a different place there in the ruins, the site where all these old stone buildings are. Elsewhere, the central temple had been reconstructed, with its stone monolith standing imposingly. Now, a central temple would be the big house, the big building in the middle, where people go to worship in the religion of the people who lived there long ago, kind of like a church. But a temple's a little different. Usually, you would go to a church to worship, but also maybe to learn, to be with other people, to get together, to communicate, to enjoy the community. Temples usually are just to go and worship in very defined ways. And this one, it's a very special one. They reconstructed it. To construct something means to build or make that thing. So the temple maybe had fallen down before. They put it back together, reconstructed it. And now it has that stone monolith imposingly standing there in the middle of the temple.
Wow. So what is a monolith? Well, actually, it's a really large, tall block of stone. They would use these in ancient days. A lot of times, they would build these blocks of stone to represent religious figures. And so this is what he's looking at. Now, this monolith is standing imposingly. So if something's imposing, meaning the adjective, although this is an adverb, if something's imposing, it means it's really large, impressive. It appears very important. And you sort of, you know, pay attention and you do what you should around this figure. Well, it's standing imposingly, so he feels like, wow, he's very impressed. On its surface, the surface of the monolith, the carved image of a fearsome god glared at me. So they've carved into the stone an image of a fearsome god. Fearsome meaning very frightening. And when you carve, you take tools and you cut into the stone. So he looks at this monolith and can see a face looking at him. In fact, it's glaring, Bill.
Well, if it's glaring, it's looking at you with a really angry look on its face. A little bit different than that cold stare that the writer was getting from the stone statues. In this case, the god is not just fearsome or scary, it's also angry, as if angry at my presence, he says, as if angry at the fact that the writer is standing there. Now, outside, he heads outside of the temple, and the sky is dull and gray. If it's dull and gray, it means it has no life, there's no color. In fact, it's the gray color. But as he's standing there looking at that boring sky, he still feels awed by what he had seen, both in the temple and, you know, surrounding him in the ruins. If you feel awed by something, it means you are in awe. And look at that word, A-W-E. Pretty similar to the word awesome. A lot of us know that word. It means something is great or terrific. It literally comes from the idea of awe, which is this feeling of just being in wonder at something that is magical, is bigger than you are, is almost not easy to understand. This word awe, to be awed by something, is today's word power word. So let's take another look at the word awe.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Word Power. My name is Joe, and today we're going to learn about the word awed. In today's article, we read that our author was awed by the ruins of Tiwanaku. To be awed by something means to have an overwhelming feeling of reverence, amazement, or fear. So in this case, the author felt completely amazed at what he had seen. We can use this word to describe something that is so amazing that we almost can't believe it. In contrast, we can also use it to describe something that inspires feelings of fear in us as well. An example of this would be, the people stood in awe of the invading army marching through their town. A good way to describe something that really wows you is to say that it was awe-inspiring. A good example would be Niagara Falls, one of the world's largest waterfalls, or Mount Everest, the world's tallest peak. It's an adjective that literally means that what you saw brought about feelings of awe within you. People will also often say that they were in awe of something. The preposition in doesn't mean that they were literally in the middle of awe, but rather that they were consumed by the feeling of awe, as if they were surrounded by it. All right, that's all the time we have for today's Word Power. Thanks for listening.
Okay, as the writer's standing out there looking up at the dull gray sky, thinking about these ruins, he notices a few rows of simple wooden stalls that are grouped near the exit of the temple.
That's right. Now, remember, we're in a tourist area. There are these impressive remains and ruins that people are there for miles away to see. So, of course, people want to sell some things to the tourists. So there are these wooden stalls that they've built to sell products, and they're all grouped together near the exit. When you group something together, it just means you put things together, you arrange them so they're in a group. Now, the owner of one of these wooden stalls is a really small Aymara woman, and she says, "Hey, come here, come examine my wares." When you examine something, you look at it closely to see if you like it. And here, she wants him to look at it in order to buy it. But what's a ware? Well, it's something that's for sale, but not in a store.
Right. One of the things she has is this gray sweater. It catches his attention. To catch someone's attention means you all of a sudden notice it. You can't help but look at it. He wants to know more about this sweater. Catching your attention is today's Fun with Phrases phrase, so let's take another look at Catch My Attention.
So, which piece of art has caught your attention the most so far?
Well, this sculpture over here really caught my attention.
How could it not catch your attention? It's bright pink, gigantic, and has orange and green spots.
Yes, I like bright colors. It kind of reminds me of a giant snail, only prettier.
I prefer this painting on the wall. It caught my attention because it's all black with one white spot.
I've never understood that kind of art. Oh, what's in this little dark room? Let's go inside and see.
Gee, it's really dark in here. How did you find this place? I passed right by it.
The weird noises coming from inside caught my attention.
Oh my God, what is that? A ghost? Help! It's coming this way!
Calm down! It's just your imagination! Or maybe not! Let's get out of here!
So that gray sweater, well, the writer saw it. And look, he thinks right away, I wonder if this could have been made from the fur, from the hair on the same llama he'd seen when he was exploring the ruins earlier. So maybe that sweater was from that same llama he saw earlier. All right, listeners, before we wrap up our show, let's hear some more Chinese explanation.
接着我们来看到在第三段的第一个句子写着 Elsewhere, the central temple had been reconstructed with its stone monolith standing imposingly. 在这里呢我们看到的是一个 The central temple was reconstructed,在经过重新整修的一个过程，而用 with 所接的名词片语呢，则是表示附带的状态。而这里所谓的 stone monolith 指的就是一种巨型石，而后面呢接了一个分词构句 standing imposingly， 其实它是从 which stood imposingly 所转换而来的。而这里的 imposingly 呢就是一个副词，解释成为看起来很了不起的，威风凛凛的。而其实呢我们从它的动词来看， impose impose 本来就是有课税或者是加以负担或者是惩罚。 The teacher usually imposed heavy tasks on us， 老师呢老是给我们很重的课业负担。另外呢 impose 也有欺压或者是使人钦佩的意思，所以变成形容词 imposing， 我们常常讲到 an imposing building 指的就是宏伟的建筑。那如果我们说 an imposing old man 指的则是一个仪表堂堂的老人。接着我们来看到在第四段的最后一个句子写着I wondered if this could have been made from the fur of the same llama as I had seen exploring the ruins earlier. 在这里呢我们讲到的就是 I wondered if， if 解释成为是否， this could have been made。 这里的 this 指的就是前面他所看到的这一件毛衣， could have been made 是一个过去完成的被动态。为什么要用到过去完成式呢？当然呢讲的是在更早之前发生的事情，所以要制成毛衣，当然呢你现在看到的毛衣那么是先前所制成好的，所以我们为了要表达比过去更早，我们就可以用的是过去的完成式。而这里毛衣是被制而成，所以我们用的就是 could have been made。 有什么制成呢？ from the fur of the same llama， 在这里我们后面用的是 as 来接的是另外一个子句 as I have seen。 文章前面提到呢他在去观赏这些废墟的时候有看到了一只羊驼，所以在这里当然咯 as 是代表是相同种类的。譬如说I have the same watch as you have， 我的表和你的相同，但是只是种类相同。但是如果你说 Jane found the watch that I lost， 就代表 Jane 找的那只手表正是我所遗失的同一只手表。要注意哦，这里的 the same 后面放的 as 只是代表相同种类，而如果是相同的一个事物，我们就用 the same 后面用 that 来接子句。
Okay, let's review today's vocabulary.
Sheer. His sheer nonsense didn't win him any friends at work. Stretch. The mountain in front of me seemed to stretch out forever. Glory. Philip is disliked by his peers because he never shares the glory with the team. Ah.Jack was awed by the Grand Canyon when he visited it for the first time.
Well, we need to head back into the city tomorrow, but we're going to check out a different city in Bolivia. So we hope that you all come back and join us then, listeners. Until tomorrow, I'm Bill.
I'm Stephanie.
See you next time.